Facebook's had 15 months of, quote, fresh hell, but 2.1 billion still use it, or Instagram, or WhatsApp, or Messenger, every day. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Jack Stewart, in for Molly Wood. Despite the privacy scandals, the federal investigations, and the accusations of destroying democracy, this week, Facebook reported its advertising revenue and global users are growing. In this week's Quality Assurance, we take a deep dive into why. In its early years, Facebook prioritized growth over everything else. Nearly every crisis Facebook now faces stems from that. Nicholas Thompson, editor-in-chief of Wired, says that's left management navigate a metaphorical minefield.
There was a lot of unexploded ordnance that they were inevitably going to step on at some point.
He's an author on the magazine's latest cover story, which goes behind the scenes at the troubled company. He says Facebook's business is actually solid for a couple of reasons.
Number one, the advertising business model they came up with is one of the greatest ever. And it doesn't require lots of changes. They just built an amazing business model, and the marginal costs of bringing in new advertisers are very low. Secondly, one of the smartest business decisions that Mark Zuckerberg ever made was to buy Instagram. And people don't really understand that Instagram is owned by Facebook, or if they distrust Facebook, they don't distrust Instagram. So Instagram continues to grow. So they make lots of money off of core Facebook. They have lots of user growth on Instagram and WhatsApp, and the business is doing great.
You would think at some point that maybe advertisers would start to push back. I mean, if Facebook's reputation has really taken this really huge dent that it appears it has, why do people still want to advertise with it?
Well, because the advertising continues to work. If at some point people have an icky feeling when they use Facebook and therefore the ads are less effective, then advertisers will leave. But at this moment, Facebook allows you to very specifically target specific users in ways that you cannot on other platforms. And for lots of advertisers, that's just a deal that's too good to pass up.
Now, Facebook is anticipating, well, it says, up to a $5 billion fine from the Federal Trade Commission. We heard that from it this week about how it's handled some of these privacy issues. Will they even feel that is the question. They have so much cash on hand. Is it a big deal?
No. So Facebook put out in their earnings call, they said that they anticipate a $3 to $5 billion fine. I don't know whether that's because those are the numbers the FTC has been talking about with them, or if Facebook is just trying to set expectations as a negotiating tactic. I would not rule out the possibility that Facebook is hit with a $10 billion fine or a $20 billion fine. Regardless, to your question, even if it is at the higher end, whether it's 5 or 10 or 20, it's tiny. Their market cap is up, I believe, $40 billion as we talked this morning. So it's not a huge hit to them. Obviously, they would rather have $5 billion than not have $5 billion, but they will be fine regardless of what this number comes out at. The thing they really worry about is antitrust. If there is antitrust regulation and it comes down hard on them, that is a serious problem, and that would make the market drop dramatically.
What are the stakes for Facebook's leadership around all of these scandals, the fake news, the offensive content, the privacy? You detail that they've got something like 30,000 moderators now. Does that mean they're actually taking this seriously as a business risk?
Yes, absolutely. Facebook is taking it very seriously as a business risk. So there are two really interesting questions in there. So number one is, do they take this seriously as a business risk? Absolutely. Are they committed to trying to counter fake news and all of the manipulation on the platform? Absolutely. What are the stakes to their business? They are very high. If scandal continues to multiply, there could be real consequences down the road. What are the stakes specifically to top management, meaning Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg, the two people who we most associate with the company? For Zuckerberg, he's going to run the company as long as he wants to. He has voting control of the shares. He's appointed his friends as board members. He is in a good position. Whenever he wants to go and run the Chan Zuckerberg initiative or just go be an intellectual thought leader or do Bill Gates type things, he will go choose to do that. For Sandberg, it's tougher. And there were moments in the last year where it seemed like she might be sacrificed or where she might be in big trouble. Zuckerberg has expressed his loyalty to her. But as the scandals multiplied and as they started to touch her in a way they never had before, it seemed as though her position was at risk. And it is also certainly the case that the public reputation of both of them has dropped. A year ago, we were talking about each of them as potential presidential candidates. Now there's not a chance.
What about the morale in the wider company in the wake of all of this? Do you get the feeling from the people you've been talking to in your reporting that employees are fairly satisfied there? I'm laughing even as I say that. Or is there a whole lot of internal chaos at this company?
There is a lot more employee dissatisfaction than there was 2 years ago. There are lots of employees who I talk to there who say, oh, this place is great. It's cool. You know, the media hates us, but that's not my problem. I'm happy. And there are a bunch of other people who say, you know, we deserve a lot of the hatred. We made a lot of mistakes. We trampled on people's privacies. And, you know, I regret all that we've done. I talk to a lot of people who are thinking about going to work there, and it doesn't have the halo that it did 2 years ago. They still pay you well. The fact that the stock continues to go up is great, particularly for people who have options. But it is a less exciting place to work, and that is one of the true risks for the company and one of the most adverse effects of the last 2 years for Facebook.
Did any part in this reporting, particularly, you know, given how much time you've spent on Facebook directly now, did anything really surprise you?
There was one specific story that stunned me, and that was the circumstances that led to the departure of the two founders of Instagram, Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger. And when Fred Vogelstein and I started reporting the story, you know, we made a list of the mysteries we wanted to solve. And that was at the very top. Why had they left? It seemed strange. They had left all of a sudden in September. No one knew why. And late in the reporting, you know, months into reporting the story, we finally learned the full story. And that is that, according to people close to them, they had grown frustrated with Zuckerberg's increased meddling. They didn't like the idea that Instagram was going to be further merged with WhatsApp and with Facebook. And there was real tension over Instagram's growth. And there was a sense among some people at Facebook that Instagram's growth was coming at the expense of core Facebook. And that led to all kinds of tensions. And then a big fight at the end of July. And a moment where Mark Zuckerberg, according to people observing all of this, Mark Zuckerberg asked one of his deputies to draw up a list of all the ways that Facebook supported Instagram, the way it drove users towards Instagram. And then he gave the list to Kevin Systrom and said, we're getting rid of all of these. And according to people familiar with the story, Systrom reacted quite badly to that and then went on paternity leave, came back and said, I'm done here. And so the biggest surprise to us was that the departure of Systrom and Krieger, which hadn't come out before, was much tenser than I had believed when I began reporting this story.
Nick Thompson, editor-in-chief of Wired. For context, a $5 billion fine would be a record tech penalty in the US, beating the $22 million that Google had to pay in 2012. And now for some related links. The New York Times has a good explainer on why both Facebook and the FTC would be happy with a chunky fine. One ends up looking strong, the other looks accountable, but really nothing much changes. European regulators have been tougher on tech companies. Google, Facebook, and Twitter all have to do more to tackle fake news to satisfy them, and they want to see progress ahead of EU elections next month. That's according to Reuters. And even Canada's getting in on the action. According to the CBC this week, privacy regulators there say Facebook broke several laws over unauthorized data access. They plan to take the company to court. If you enjoyed Mark Zuckerberg's testimony in front of Congress here in the US with his zinging comebacks like, Senator, we run ads, then maybe you'll enjoy hearing more directly from Mr. Zuckerberg himself. I mean, Facebook was accused of not being open enough. I'm not really sure how deep into the heads of tech entrepreneurs you really want to get, but Zuck does have a podcast now. I'm not suggesting you listen, I'm just giving you this information. It's called Tech and Society with Mark Zuckerberg. Just, yeah, don't at me. Matt Purdy produced this week's Marketplace Tech, along with Stephanie Hughes, and Eve Troe is our senior producer. Dan Powell's our engineer. I'm Jack Stewart. For now, that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.